excuse me for my voice, but I have never, never seen anything like it. On the road again.
If we wanted to hit mailboxes, we could let Ralph drive. We're the best
of friends. Moron, your bus is leaving.
Welcome to this USC edition of the On the Road Home podcast. This is Ken Crawford reporting to you on the road home from the USC game on October 3rd. I find myself going through a range of emotions this evening, starting with anticipation and hope before the game, with excitement through those first few series, to disappointment, to disgust, to outrage, and then falling back to shock and awe and disconcerted confusion. I mean, I'm really at a loss for what to say at this point. I'm trying to reach back to everything that I saw happen and trying to come up with a cohesive set of thoughts of what went wrong and what we can improve on and what to credit USC with doing well and all of these things. And I just come back to a blank notion of shock. I'll say this, I can't remember a time during the Tedford era where I was utterly as shocked as now. I mean, you know, the two other candidate years to compare this one to, at least so far, it's very early, are 2005 and 2007, of course. In 2005, you know, we knew we had a flawed team, and we saw enough of good out of them that we got overly optimistic when we made the trip down to the Rose Bowl. And then the games we lost after that, we knew that they were tough games and they were going to be hard to win. And so we weren't terribly surprised or disappointed as much as we were. Somewhere in the back of our heads, we knew we couldn't just be completely disgusted. And they ended up only losing four, and they were the four that they should have lost, with the exception of perhaps Oregon State. And then in 2007, we had the ankle injury, and while things got worse and worse, we knew there was something awry. We knew there was a reason the team wasn't performing, and again, there was a reason behind it. But this year, I just feel like we completely lack an excuse. And I don't mean that in a derogatory way. I just mean it in a leaving me shocked and unable to formulate good thoughts kind of way. How do you at all comprehend how the team that laid wood to Maryland and Minnesota on the road is the same team we've seen the last 2 weeks? It's just incomprehensible. Riley has reverted to all of his worst habits. The play calling is everything it wasn't in those first 3 weeks. The defense is suspect in a number of areas they weren't suspect in. And I'm completely lost for having a good explanation. But let's do our best to break down what we saw anyway. One of the things I can say is an area where we were concerned on this team and we've kind of forgotten is our linebackers. And I really think on defense it's a big part of what's hurting this team, that we don't have the caliber of linebackers we had last year, at least experience-wise. And I think that's really infecting the whole defense with a lack of confidence that it had last year. But we have to remember that we lost our two best linebackers last year and a third very experienced one, and only one real person with experience to replace those three. And they're just not measuring up this year. A lot of these underneath passes and crossing routes and dump-offs that are going for big gainers are because the linebackers aren't able to keep their assignments. And then you're seeing the secondary getting jumpy and antsy because of it, because It's the same set of guys, but they look more discombobulated and confused than I've ever seen them. Just play after play where they don't know who they want where, and they're frantically waving at each other before the snap. And I'm not sure how much of that is just the internals or whether Gregory's making adjustments that they don't feel comfortable with, you know, understanding or what, but the whole group just does not look very solid. And although I feel like the defensive line is mostly doing its job is not to make the play, it's to stop everything up so the rest of the team can make the play. And then another component that had been discussed in various circles, but I don't think people put much weight to it, but I'm seeing this now in these last two games, and it's a big reason why the non-conference games are different than the conference games, and it should really scare us. But last year, the 3-4 was new to our opponents. They hadn't seen it before, and so it was very confusing to them. And the same is true for our non-conference opponents this year. Very unique and new formation for them. But our conference opponents, they've gone through the ringer once before, and they've had time in the offseason to think about what kind of adjustments they might make when they played us this year. And we're a strong enough team in the conference, at least in people's perception, that they'll spend some time in the offseason thinking about how they might want to game plan against our defense. And I've seen that in both Oregon and USC, where they clearly had some thoughts and responses to this 3-4 defense. And when you combine that with the 3-4 defense not executing as well as it did last year anyway, with Follett and Williams gone, I think it's just not going to be the same quality of defense we had in the past. So I really think on defense that's hurting us. But let's be honest, the defense, while they didn't do great today, I don't think it's the reason the Bears lost. If the offense could have gotten anything moving, the reality of this was the score was 23-3 as the game wound down. And 23 points, you hold a team to around 20, you're not doing too horrible, and you really need to be coming up with the points to win that game. But the offense is just beyond explanation. I mean, what has happened to Riley? He threw the worst I've ever seen him throw. He was missing open guys. He couldn't hit best. What's most surprising to me about Riley was how easily rattled he became after the interception in the end zone. He looked really in control and on target before he threw that interception. And then after that, he was holding on to the ball too long, time and time again. After that, he was quick to run out from the pocket, even when it hadn't collapsed. After that, he wasn't throwing as accurately as before and was rushing his throws, which is a really odd combination for waiting too long. It's like he's waiting too long, and then he's trying to correct for that by rushing his throw. But let's be honest, the offensive line wasn't doing a great job blocking. The receivers, I think, were doing a fair job of getting open. I didn't feel like they were as weak as they were last year. But Riley wasn't hitting them. About the only thing he was hitting was the tight end over the middle. And it's just such a frustrating game to watch. I was really beside myself. I didn't know what to think. And then when you add in the lack of creative play calling. I mean, they went to the Wildcat for like one whole series, but that's not what I mean by creative. I mean, that's more desperate than creative. You know, creative is about forcing the defense to have to account for a number of things. Creative is about actually running the reverses and the fake reverses and things like that. It's not about doing wacky plays. It's about doing normal plays, but using them in a way that really keeps the defense off balance. And I'm just not seeing that this year so far. I'm really disappointed to see how it's regressed from what I felt was very creative 2-3 weeks ago. And then there were other things, like, why aren't you going for it one more time with 12 seconds on the clock at the end of the first half? There's time for one more play. And you know what? it's time to trust your quarterback who's already gone through this once, that he's not going to let that ball fall inbounds, that he's going to do the right things to make sure we're still going to get a field goal attempt at the end of the half, which, by the way, we missed to only make that much more painful. Or there was the not calling a timeout for 20 seconds too long, but just before that drive when USC was forced to punt. That clock went from one high 40s, I think it was 147, 148, down to 134 after the referee correction. And again, that's 12 more seconds that the Bears didn't have because the coaching staff wasn't on the ball. And I'm just really beside myself. I don't know how many more times I should say that, but I really am. And I look at this team. They have to travel to UCLA, which thankfully doesn't look all that tough after their beatdown at Stanford. But this season could go south real quick, and I'm not really looking forward to that game right now. I still think the Bears could be in deep trouble, and they lose that one. They got to come home and play Washington State, who, by the way, did better than we did against USC, let's be honest, and about the same as us against Oregon, at least the scoreboards indicated as much. And then we've got the ever-dangerous Oregon State out there. Arizona's looking better. We usually don't have too much trouble with them at home, but it'll be later in the season. A lot of times they're a team that toughens up as the year goes on. We've got to go on the road to Arizona State. I mean, they could seriously lose every single one of those games if they keep throwing out performances like this. And I'll say, I mean, I'm generally one who's been one to defend Tedford, and I, in principle, still do. I think, you know, even if this year ends up being an unmitigated disaster, I have optimism that he'll turn things around and get things back on track. But this could be the first year the Bears miss bowl eligibility unless they get back on track. They've only got 3 wins. They need at least 3 more. And you tell me where those 3 wins are right now that are obvious. I mean, yeah, they can definitely win 3. You know, they could beat Washington State at home, Arizona at home, and, you know, one of the others, whether that's UCLA, Arizona State, or Stanford, or even Oregon State. But just listen to how I'm talking. I mean, this is the team that, you know, had a shot at the Rose Bowl, and now all of a sudden we're worried about bowl eligibility. What happened to this team? And maybe it's just that we played the best 2 teams in the conference 2 weeks in a row, and we found ourselves woefully short of that, and the rest of the conference is just as woefully short. But, and if that happens, okay, you know, well then, it wasn't an unmitigated disaster. It was just a real tough year, and Tedford really needs to build up his recruiting base to get better, and we need to find that quarterback. I still think Tedford has a lot of good instincts with molding good quarterbacks, but for whatever reason, he hasn't found his guy in 4 years now. Because Riley's not looking like he's it either. And I get the feeling Brock isn't either. Sweeney might be. Sweeney might just be another great Tedford quarterback. But it's really surprising, and it shakes one's confidence in this, you know, in those past years. As I said, there were lots of reasons to think, you know, this team was still building, and it was a down year. You know, 2005 was supposed to be a down year. 2007 was supposed to be pretty good, but then, you know, an ankle injury to your star quarterback really hurts. But let's be honest, I mean, that mindset of, okay, we can have a good year and a down year, and I think a lot of Bears fans would still be okay with that. I mean, that's not what we're talking about here. We're going on our 3rd year in a row of relative mediocrity, because last year didn't work out that great either. We were a 4th in conference team. You know, it's about the same as 2005. So, you know, when you look at the big picture, if this year ends up being another 8-4 kind of team, which I'm thinking is the upside right now, we went 3 of the last 4 years have been that type of team, with 2006 being the lone exception. So, I mean, this really needed to be an up year, and there really was a lot of reasons to believe this was an up year, but it just hasn't been so far. And as I said, maybe we just face the two toughest teams in the conference, and maybe we'll rebound from here and end up, you know, third in conference or something like that. But it doesn't feel that way to me, because we didn't just lose to them. We were outclassed by them. It's the first time in the Tedford era we really were outclassed and completely shut down 2 games in a row. We've lost 2 in a row, but usually they've been 2 heartbreakers in a row. I mean, these were both the 2 biggest losses of the Tedford era, back to back. By themselves, they're the worst. But back to back, they make up the largest margin of loss probably in any 4-game stretch, if not 6-game stretch, that the Bears have played in. I'll get some numbers on that and put it on the blog later, but it's just very distressing. You know, looking at these 2 teams, I actually think USC is the better team, and when USC goes to play Oregon, they'll win that game. They're getting back on their form. I feel like we faced both of these teams a week too late. Like, if we could have done the Minnesota game after those 2, we might have been in a lot better shape. But Oregon got it together just in time to destroy the Bears, and USC got it together just in time to destroy the Bears. And now we've got to go play UCLA after a bye week. And I think we actually really, really, really need this bye week right now. And the team needs to get back to fundamentals. They need to come up with some schemes that work with these players and drill them into them so that they're confident in them, and there's none of this confusion on the line of scrimmage. And they need to work with Riley to give him easy passes. They need to do what they did with Steve Levy. They need to give him those quick outs, those quick opportunities, and then just let your playmakers go do it. And it stinks that we're yet again forced into that mode, but oh well, we're forced into that mode. What are you going to do? You work with the players you have, and you get back to winning. But yet again, I think we gave up too easily on Best again. He was making reasonable progress when he was running the ball, but we pretty quickly got out of the game plan of running the ball, even though it was mildly successful. And there's just so many things here that are frustrating to me, and I just am left in shock and disappointment, and I just don't know what to say. And I think actually this is really a needed time for a bye week for us all to calm down and reset our expectations, as well as for the team to do the same and focus on getting things right and hitting hard and playing hard and moving forward. So I guess we're going to have to wrap up this On the Road Home podcast left in shock. Usually I like to talk it through and get to a point where I feel good about wrapping things up, but I just am feeling like it's never going to happen. So we'll leave it there. Hopefully Jason and I will have a chance to get together this week and be in shock together and do that podcast. And of course you'll see plenty on the blog. So look forward to those, and thank you for listening. On the road again.